welcome to A Court of Three Strands, the Palatine Institute's podcast on creating Christian culture.
Through this show, we hope to provide a resource of education and encouragement for students, parents, and leaders about the revival of Christian values in our community.
On A Court of Three Strands, we'll focus on the three foundational strands that make a strong, flourishing Christian culture: the church, the family, and education. We desire to order these things around God's word to advance Christ's kingdom and so glorify him and bless our community. My name is Ron Young, former headmaster at Providence Academy and founder of the Palatine Institute.
And I'm Noah Tetzner, a curious student of classical education and podcast producer.
Through our conversations, we look forward to sharing fellowship, knowledge, and practical wisdom for his glory here on the Court of Three Strands podcast.
Without further ado, let's get on with the show. Hello and welcome back to Court of Three Strands. Today, we are going to be talking about, today's going to be one of three episodes about nihilism and the Christian response to it.
Yeah. Well, kind of the world's response to nihilism and then the Christian answer.
The Christian answer. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Mr. Young, let's define nihilism.
All right. From nihil, the Latin word for nothing, right?
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. So when we've looked at the last two episodes, my two ranty ones, really about the world that we have made and the fruit of it, you're looking at a world that is meaningless, right? There's no, the world is, there is no real truth. It's all human construct.
Yep.
And so because it's all human construct and we're just here by accident, you know, evolution and cosmic chance, there's no real meaning to the world or to our lives. It's just choices that we make, right? So the because of that, there's this the mood of the day is kind of this nihilism,
yeah,
where things don't, there's no real meaning, right? And and we can see this in things like mental health, suicide rates, like they're up pretty high. I looked at CDC for 2023, and somewhere over 80% of all teenagers have some sort of mental health issue.
Wow. Yeah.
The number one issue they have is anxiety. 58% of teenagers suffer from anxiety in a way that's not necessarily a diagnosed disorder, but have anxiety in a way that is affecting how they're living their life. It's somewhere around 30% of teenagers have a diagnosis, a disorder of anxiety based on anxiety. Then you have things like suicide. Like 30% of teenagers last year seriously contemplated killing themselves.
Wow.
According to the CDC, 30%.
One out of three. Yeah.
Yeah. That's astronomical. Like I don't, it's crazy. Well, and the question is why? Well, there's lots of reasons why, but one of the reasons that, that they're dealing with is why not? Right. If life is hard and things don't seem like there's any hope in the future to have a good life and there's no meaning behind it, there's no God, there's no structure, why not take the easy way? And so it's a deal. People contemplating suicide, and suicide rates are up, especially for girls. Usually, the boys are far outpacing girls in suicidal attempts, right? And the boys still outpace them in attempts and success, but more and more girls are making the attempt. And it's very concerning. It ought to concern everyone. Yes. But again, it's looking for a meaning. As we talked about, one of the issues of the a double combination of a culture that says that the whole, everything is just simply your choice, who you're going to be. You have to choose your identity, right? Or be convinced of one.
Right.
And parents in this kind of the idea that, what's it called? Gentle parenting, where you're really dealing with the emotion of the person and validating that. And so without giving any real direction, right? All it's doing is making it worse for the youth.
Yeah.
And those youth are growing up and we wonder what happened. Right.
Right.
And it's just filled with anxiety and this nihilism. So one of the responses that the world has to this nihilism is skepticism and cynicism. Okay. So what happens is young people are taught to doubt everything and to understand everything because it's human construct, and the human construct is made by the people in power, and it's for the sake of their own power. Mm-hmm. They are cynic. They become cynics and skeptical about virtually everything. They're skeptical of all human institutions, especially the ones that have in the past given all the meaning and right. Right? They're skeptical of the school. They're skeptical of the government. They're skeptical of the church. They're skeptical of history. They're skeptical of, and they become cynics about it all. So the life of a cynic and skeptic then, on a positive in the modern era, we're not in a modern era anymore. We're in a postmodern era. In the modern era, that skepticism used to drive people to pursue truth. Mm. But now it's not driving people to truth. What it's doing is it's causing them to give up or to be enraged at how unfair everything is and tear everything down. Right. So so they grow up kind of being kids growing up, kind of being sold this bill of goods. Like, well, if you just go to college, get a degree, get a job, life will be great. Even though we didn't train you how to do any of it or train you even how to have a life or tell you that you should get married and have kids or start a family or all the stuff that through his, I mean, let's think about this. At all times and places in the history of mankind, when people looking at the end of their life and saying what was important and what was the key to happiness, it was their family and the building of their household.
Yeah. Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, if their entire, from kindergarten through college, most of what they're hearing is this deconstruction of these institutions as sexist and about power plays, and you're skeptical about those things, right? You're not being taught how to be a good husband. You're not taught how to be a good wife. You're not taught how to be a good father or mother. Most of the things I've seen with child rearing is trying to scare kids not to get pregnant.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's not about, or look how horrible it is to have kids. You need to wait. So what happens is that they find like, okay, if what's going to give me meaning in my life is supposed to be being able to live out how I feel. And that continually leads them down paths of disappointment and hurt. And then they finish that degree, they're in huge debt, and they can't pay it off. They can't even get a job that's going to pay for them to pay rent, right? So what happens with this skepticism and cynicism about the world isn't like, hey, we should get together and change the world for the better. It's not, hey, if I do this, this, and that, I'll be able to get out of debt and buy a house in the next 5 years. Planning for the future. Instead, what it's doing is it's bringing out depression or anger, and they're pursuing tearing down the institutions. And whole cities have been doing that, right? You know, like let's let people burn down federal buildings, right? You know, you remember all those riots and things?
Oh yeah.
And nothing happened, right? Now think about this. You're a young person. We were just talking about this. You're 23.
Yeah.
So you're fed all this stuff, and you get through school, you're in debt, you can't get a decent job that's going to pay for you to live very well. So you're maybe going to go back, you know, to your parents' basement or to being in a cheap apartment with five other guys just to scrape by. And you're angry, and you sense the injustice of, you know, the police system, legal system, and, you know, Black Lives Matter, and you name it.
Yeah.
And you join up into these protests, and, you know, you might not even riot. You might just be protesting and doing all these things and raising money and awareness. And then, you know, a couple of years later, what good did any of it do?
Yeah.
Right. So what it did was it enriched the people in power.
Right.
Who started these movements.
Right.
Like they're extremely wealthy now.
Oh yeah.
And they convinced cities to defund the police, to let people out. And what's happened to those cities? They're being destroyed. Companies are leaving because they can't open up stores. So think of this skepticism and cynicism, in their anger and, you know, sometimes violence and, you know, everything, they did stuff finally.
Yeah.
And all it did was make everything worse, which leads to more skepticism and cynicism.
Yeah.
And complete depression. Right. Just
right.
None of it worked.
Right.
All right. So now that sounds like a downer. Right. But what I'm saying is that's the world's response to the world we've made is basically one of those responses is skepticism and cynicism. And it's what it has led to in the face of that nihilism is to try to tear everything down.
Yeah.
And it's just made things worse. And so there's no new great society coming from the ashes. It's just becoming worse. Mm-hmm. And even with all the right people elected, it's gotten worse.
Yeah.
Right. And I was being facetious when I said all the right people, you know, because elections aren't going to.
No.
Right. So where can people have hope? Well, Christians have an answer. It's the God of the Bible and his son, Jesus, who came and died for the sins of the world to make justice, like true justice. Yeah. So I think this is the part where people have bought into a lot of the deconstruction movements of like looking at these things in institutions cynically. And in some ways there's some good about that because there's a lot of falsehood and, you know, junk out there.
Yeah.
Right. But it's all been according to man's standards. Like by what standards are you judging them? Right. Well, by my standards. And so we're going to tear it down using this other institution. And all of a sudden it's like, that one's corrupt. Oh shoot. You know, what do you do? So the only promise for any real justice is by the one who made the world and is the one who can judge fairly and rightly. And that's the God and creator of this world. And he's already provided a way not only to forgive us our sins, but also to make right the corruption of the world. And that's through his son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So what we have is hope in that we can have a relationship with the very creator of the world, right? Jesus Christ is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and life. So if we're lost, And this is part of what we really want to do with Palatine Institute, right?
Yeah.
Is the frank recognition that the world is lost, right? And I'm not blaming the world for trying to burn it down, because a lot of it needs to be.
Yeah. I mean, yeah,
right. We're not called to do that as Christians,
right?
Right. But there's loss. So I'm not angry at so my anger usually, as you hear my rants, is not because I'm mad at the people. I'm mad at what the systems of this world are doing to people. Right?
Yeah.
So what we want to be able to do is to be able to share the truth of Jesus Christ with other people so they can have hope. Right? That there really is truth.
Yeah.
There really is goodness. There really is judgment that will come.
Yeah.
And all things will be judged.
Right.
And that we can escape judgment because Christ took on our judgment, right? He took on our punishment.
Yeah.
And so we're forgiven. And when we understand that and we've experienced the true forgiveness of Jesus Christ,
yeah,
it gives us the ability to forgive others.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So there's all these past wrongs. But I mean, and this is the part that's hard about postmodern era, is what they're trying to do is look into with the skepticism and cynicism and tear down every single institution because of all the sins of the past.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't do anything. It only makes the present and the future worse. What's needed is forgiveness.
Yeah.
The past needs to be forgiven so we can move forward.
Yeah.
And what the only thing that will give us the power or the ability to move forward,
yeah,
is that we ourselves have been forgiven. And then because of that experience, I can forgive others.
So do you think, Mr. Young, I mean, I know we went over some statistics and whatnot at the beginning of our conversation today, but do you think one of the reasons why inarguably so many of today's young people are unhappy is because we've done away with, our culture's done away with all the meaning in life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If what the world is trying to offer, talk to kids about and to bring you up into a world that's completely and only, there's nothing natural way or, you know, remember how we talked about truth being congruent with reality as it is?
Yeah.
If what we're being taught and told constantly is that reality is something that we make up ourselves by our language, by our, right, by our will, by choosing it,
yeah,
by these decisions, and it all disappoints.
Yeah.
What kind of meaning is there?
Right.
Right. So now I am, there are three different responses, right? Today we're only talking about cynicism and skepticism.
Yeah.
This like negative view of this world that we see is only a human construct,
yeah,
which leads to this depression and anger. It leads to this,
right?
Right. It leads to non-activity unless it's to tear things down. That the answer to that is really going to be the knowledge of real truth, of true truth, which is found in Jesus, and through that, through Jesus, forgiveness.
Yeah.
And so the injustice that we see, there's an answer to it, and it's not tearing it down.
Yeah.
It's forgiveness.
Yeah.
And then good people then working for change,
right,
to make things good, to develop culture based upon the truth that we know through Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
Christian culture.
Right.
That's what's good. It's to be able to say like, look, you're a boy and you're going to grow up to be a man. You're a girl. You're going to grow up to be a woman.
Yeah.
And here's what God has in store for you. This is where you can find happiness. Now, are there people I don't know if we talked on our podcast recently, but at one time we talked about, you know, Jordan Peterson and Vivek Ramaswamy.
Yeah.
Remember we talked about how, yeah, like,
I remember that.
Yeah, they're saying like, so there's always been this understanding of an ideal. The ideal is a family, a man and a woman having children, and that they stay together.
Yeah.
And they're happy in that, and they're supported by a good community.
Yeah.
And that community is in a well-functioning city or town, and that town is in a well-functioning state,
yeah,
which is in this republic that's operating well.
Yes.
Like, that's the ideal.
Yeah.
And what conservatives have always wanted to do is support the ideal. How do we make this ideal better? How do we make sure that we preserve the ideal? And that's what they want. That's why conservatives don't have much vision.
Right. Right.
They're always going, we just need to support the family. We need to support the community. We need to have this.
Yep.
Liberals, classically liberal people, have always been the people who go, okay, yeah, here's the ideal, but what about those on the margin? Mm. What about the divorced parents? What about the foster kid? What about the adopted? What about, right? Right. And for most of our history, they're focusing on how do we make those on the margins at least benefit somehow from the ideal.
Yeah.
And then as liberalism progressed, then it became, okay, what about the homosexual? What about, right? And it started to get a little unwieldy.
Yeah.
But now you have the progressive left, who's way left.
Yeah.
And they want to do away with the ideal altogether. And we're only, you and I, Noah, are only feeling that the effect now, but that tearing down of the ideal has been going on for a couple decades in our society.
Oh yeah.
And it's being taught in our schools.
Yeah.
Right. This is how I could, you know, the one, and I use her as an example all the time, but I just was heartbroken by that question that she asked my daughter, how do you know you're gay unless you're sleeping with other women? How do you know you're not heterosexual if you're not sleeping with guys? And when my daughter showed her, like, well, this is what the Bible says, you're a woman, and what God means for you to do is to marry a man, have kids, and have a family. Like, that's the normal. That's what's intended. And her response was, oh, wow, that makes sense.
Wow.
And she was a junior in high school. Wow. And our kids are faced with this. Like, they're lost.
Yeah.
And we've been, and so we're, as adults, we're just slow to pick this stuff up.
Yeah.
And we're like going, well, how come kids these days aren't, you know, getting jobs and buying homes and getting married and having kids? And it's like, well, they're lost.
And I think one of the ways we find meaning in within a Christian culture is through like tradition, you know, like little things like holding the door open for a lady.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's part of the cultural part that's remembering who we are.
Right.
Right. I'm a guy, and I'm a lot stronger than women.
Yeah.
It is. Like when this was one of the surprising things to my wife, I think, is she realized that by the time a boy is about 12 years old, she can't wrestle with him anymore. They're gonna beat her.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just anatomy, yeah.
It is. It's just testosterone. And are there individual women who work out all the time who are stronger than 12-year-old boys? Kind of.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying they're physically stronger.
Yeah.
But, you know, if there's a fight, the testosterone of that 12-year-old boy might outlast the strength of the woman.
Yeah.
But I'm not, that's speculation, you know? I mean, there are the Ronda Rouseys of the world,
right?
Who I don't think could probably beat me up, you know. but the exception is kind of proving the rule, right? It just and for a boy to show deference to a woman by opening a door for her is teaching them to honor the weaker vessel, which is what the Apostle Paul says that we need to do in Scripture.
Yeah.
So if a husband is to honor their wife as the weaker vessel, How do we train boys to become men who are so honoring? Well, maybe when they're in third grade, they're opening the door for the girls, even though at third grade, the girls and the boys are probably the same strength. You know what I mean?
Right.
They haven't gone through puberty yet, but they're training them to do it.
Yep.
But in our modern society, when we look at that as being unnecessary or sexist or whatever, okay, we're losing the opportunity to train the boys to honor girls. How's that going to look in the future when they're men?
Yep.
This is the part of the short-sightedness, I think, that our society has.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, let's think about the consequences of what we do.
Yeah.
So when we decide that we're going to let organize our world around the individual emotions, that's emotivism, which is the world we live in right now, and that's what's going to rule.
Yeah.
We're setting our kids up for very, very difficult and hard lives.
Yep.
And the kind of people who aren't going to be able to sustain a civilization.
Yeah.
You know, And we might think that's great. I think I called it gentle parenting earlier in the episode, but yeah, you read about that and there's some reasons why parents are attracted to that. And some of those reasons are very, very good. It's just, we're not thinking through the complete consequences of that, of paying attention to the emotions of our kids. And then all of a sudden the kids' emotions are really what is setting the stage for everything.
Yeah.
And it's like wagging the dog. It can't be that way.
Yeah. Right.
Right. So instead of teaching our kids the inappropriateness of their emotional outburst.
Yeah. Right.
And we're trying to figure out why they had the emotional outburst and try to do whatever we can so that they don't have those again by having their emotional outburst change the, right. Like in a school setting, my wife will tell you this in the school that, you know, she'll be subbing at is like certain kids, if they have an emotional outburst, the instruction is all the kids in the room and the teacher have to leave the room while they have their emotional outburst.
Oh my.
Well, what good is that doing to that kid?
Yeah.
No, it's destroying them.
Yeah, it is.
What they need to do is learn how to control themselves.
Right.
Or as my wife would say to emotional instances, you know, it's like, have you submitted your emotions to the Lordship of Jesus?
Yeah.
In other words, things that are good are not evil now because you feel bad, and evil things aren't good because of your feelings.
Yeah.
Right. We have to submit even our feelings and our emotions to the Lordship of Jesus. Right. Submit them to him, which means sometimes we need to control how we feel or change how we feel or not act the way we feel like acting. Right. And these are things that are taught and we're not teaching them. And what it leads to is it's not good for the people. It's not good for the kids. All right. That's a little off our topic of the response of nihilism, cynicism and skepticism, but I mean, it's all kind of related,
right?
That we live in a society like kids figure that out. Yeah. As soon as a kid knows that all I need to do, like, you know, I'm going to throw my brother under the bus, but when we were kids, you know, we did something wrong. We knew that when my mom spanked us, all we had to do was fake cry. And she'd stop and then she'd apologize to us and tell us how much she loved us because she's only doing this for our own good.
Yeah.
And then she's walked out the room, we'd be like, you know, oh, that was easy. Like totally manipulating her with just some fake tears until my brother was so mad at her and she, you know, laughed at her after spanking him. And then she decided, I'm not doing this anymore. Yeah. Wait till your father comes home. And ever since then, yeah, he blew it. Because now when my dad came home, he swatted us. That hurt.
Yeah, right.
And that got our attention, right? You know, right. And it was, but kids at a young age will learn how to manipulate things.
Yeah.
And if that's what we're teaching them, if it's being reinforced at home and at school, like what happens when they have a job and they don't feel like coming in or they don't like what the boss had to say or... I mean, I'm on Twitter or X or whatever it's called nowadays, and I'll see all sorts of people complaining about and tearing down, trying to tear down churches or businesses and all that stuff because they got fired and they think it was some sort of a spiritual abuse and all this stuff. And it's, and you just want to go, no, it's the right of your employer to be able to, to terminate your employment.
Right.
And don't make it into something huge and then get so upset you got to burn everything down.
Right.
Because your feelings were hurt. Right. And I understand. And it might be a completely unjust firing. Completely. But that's life. Yeah. So the response to that is, okay, I need to forgive and I need to grow.
Right.
Not, I'm going to burn it to the ground and I'm going to spread as much junk about pastors and churches and all sorts of stuff on the internet as I can.
Yeah.
It's not helping any that it just feeds into the cynicism and the skepticism. What's needed is, again, is Jesus Christ is the truth. Follow him and he'll teach you the way to go. Submit to him. You'll be forgiven. You'll have the power then to forgive others and to build and to do better. Like, that's really what's needed. Not to burn everything down, but to just forgive and continue to build. All right. So that's cynicism, skepticism. We're going to talk about next week Epicureanism and hedonism. And then the third one is existentialism. We'll talk about that as different worldly responses to the nihilism that we have.
Yeah.
And the Christian answer to it really is faith, hope, and love. And as we get through those three things, then we'll have a section that will talk about more concrete things by what do we mean following Jesus and how this faith, hope, and love is really that answer. All right, sound good?
Sounds good. It's going to be a good season.
I think so. All right.